All right, here we go. Fritzberger and Blood and Faith.com. It is the 20th of August. This is the after show. Bloodandfaith.com had a sermon this morning about Judas Iscariot, who is arguably one of the most important people in the Holy Scriptures. And I just want to follow up with a few comments to that. Judas Iscariot is absolutely one of the most important people in the Holy Bible. I'm not saying that he's important because he's a good guy, obviously. I think it's a story that is overlooked. I think that it is a story that's ignored. I think there's so much to the story of Judas Iscariot that people don't want to talk about and don't want to acknowledge and don't want to recognize because the implications of that story are profound. And they're disturbing, and they're profoundly disturbing to learn about Judas Iscariot and who he was and what he did. Judas Iscariot was called and chosen by Jesus Christ. He cast out demons, he healed the sick, he preached the gospel. The Bible said he had sweet fellowship with Jesus Christ. I don't want to rehash that here. Sweet fellowship with Jesus Christ. And he committed treason against Jesus Christ. And in the Bible, biblical treason is siding with the Jews. A man called by Jesus Christ, chosen by Jesus Christ, anointed by Jesus Christ, healed the sick, cast out demons, had sweet fellowship with Jesus Christ. Yet in the end, he sided with the Jews. He sided with the Jews. Biblical treason is siding with the Jews. Now, you can't say, oh, well, you know what? He was, you know, he never believed. No, no, no. Called, chosen, cast out demons, preached the gospel, healed the sick. Sweet fellowship with Jesus Christ. Knew him personally. Knew him very well. They had sweet fellowship together, the psalmist says. And at the end, when he comes up and he greets him, he says, "Hail, Rabbi. Hail, Rabbi." In his own mind, he thought he was doing nothing wrong. "Hail, Rabbi." He greeted Jesus Christ with a kiss. And no doubt he had 50 reasons why he took 30 pieces of silver. Look, things are going to get tough. Just trying to be prudent, take care of myself. You know, it all makes sense to him. I just lost my sound here, my light. That's no fun. I don't know if I can get that back. Maybe I can. Maybe I got light here. There you go. Pays to have dual lights. That's what treason is. Treason against Jesus Christ is not, "Oh, Lord, I smoked an extra cigarette today." Treason against Jesus Christ is not, you know, I didn't make it to church last Sunday. Treason against Jesus Christ isn't like, you know what, I went through some hard times, I fell off the wagon and I, you know, made some really stupid decisions. Biblically, treason against Jesus Christ is siding with the Jews. You can't get around that. And the church has made so many exceptions to the Holy Spirit. So many reasons not to follow the Holy Spirit. So many traditions of men that are contrary to the Holy Spirit and contrary to what the Holy Scriptures clearly teach that it's become relatively unrecognizable. I was talking to somebody that's close to me, and I shared with him in the gospel how Paul is Paul. He says, "Hey, you know, there's neither a slave nor free, Greek nor Roman, male nor female. We are all one in Christ." And I was commenting on how some preachers have taken that to meaning, and I've heard it from the pulpit, there's neither atheist nor believer, neither Muslim nor Christian. There's neither gay nor straight nor gay. And I told this person, I said, I said, that was it. I never went back there again. And this person actually thought that was a good sermon. And what the church has done, and I'm talking evangelicals, Protestants, Catholics, the whole nine yards, they said, "Look, here's what we want Jesus Christ to be. Here's what we want Christianity to be. And we're not going to let Jesus Christ get in the way of that. All loving, all forgiving, all tolerant, all diverse. And that's not who Jesus Christ is. I read it in Psalm 155 this morning. And Jesus Christ says of Judas Iscariot, may he quickly descend into hell. May he quickly descend into hell. And you think, well, what did Jesus do wrong? I mean, he preached the gospel. He healed the sick. All right? All he did was point out to the Jews who Jesus Christ was. And it breaks my heart. It makes me want to cry. Because there's so many Christians and pastors and preachers that commit treason against Jesus Christ by literally siding with the Jews. They would rather have the approval of the Jews than the approval of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was very clear. He hated the Jews, and the Jews hated him. Don't give me this stuff. Jesus is a Jew. Jesus, don't give me that nonsense. Stop that. Jesus Christ looks at the Jews and he says, "You of your father the devil." Is Jesus Christ really declaring that himself to be the son of the devil? That's where you have to go if you want to go down that road. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 8 verse 44, he looks at the Jews in context. 8th chapter of John, and he looks at the Jews, he tells the Jews, you are of your father, the devil. Is Jesus Christ including himself in that because he's a Jew? You're twisting the scriptures, preacher. You're twisting the scriptures. Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation, he says, these people that call themselves Jews, but they're not, they're liars, they're the synagogue of Satan. Is Jesus Christ really putting himself in that boat? I don't think so. I don't think he is, not at all. When Paul comes out and he talks about the Jews, he says that they murdered the prophets, they drove us out, they murdered the holy and righteous one, and they are the enemies of all mankind. They're hostile to all mankind. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Is Jesus Christ really saying that he's the enemy of all mankind? And the Christian church has warped this. It's twisted this. And they do it not to honor Jesus Christ. They do it to honor the Jews. The Christian church has done this to honor the Jews, not to honor Jesus Christ. And we've created a new religion that has scant reference to the Holy Scriptures. Psalm 55, he says, may he descend alive into hell. Oh, but God so loved the world. God so loved the world. And you go down this track. Yeah, he loves the world so much that he sacrificed his son. There's a blood price to pay for sins. And if you reject the price that Jesus Christ paid for it, there is no other sacrifice for sin. There is no other sacrifice for sin than Jesus Christ. And if your theology says there is no sin, then you trample under feet the precious blood of Jesus Christ, whose blood was shed to pay for our sins. If you deny his blood and you deny the sin, there is no sacrifice left for you. There's nothing left for you. When you read through the book of John, book of Matthew refers to the Jews as the Pharisees. And clearly, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the chief priests and the leaders of the people, they're the leaders of all the Jews. Can a Jew be saved? Yes. Paul got saved. Okay. There's Jews that converted to Jesus Christ. But the story of the Gospels and the book of Acts is that the Jews are the enemies of Jesus Christ. They're the enemies of the church of Jesus Christ. They're the enemies of God. And they're hostile to all mankind. And they murdered the prophets. Stephen, the first martyr, Acts chapter 7. They're evil people. It's an evil race. God chose Paul as a warning to both Jew and Gentile. Paul makes no bones about it. He says these are the murderers of Jesus Christ. As soon as Paul converted, the Jews wanted to murder him. And this is Satan is not just the accuser of the brethren, but he's the great deceiver. And somehow he's got these preachers out there convincing the world that the Jews are God's chosen people. They're Satan's chosen people. They're the synagogue of Satan, and they're the children of the devil. John the Baptist says the same thing. He comes out and he says, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee the wrath to come? You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" First thing he says, Matthew chapter 3. Who is he talking to? He's talking to the same people that is referred to in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. The seed of the serpent. The seed of the serpent. John the Baptist identifies them. He calls them, "You brood of vipers." Well, a brood is the seed of. It's the children of. A brood of snakes. It's plain as day. You don't even have to guess at this stuff. You don't have to guess. This isn't some strange interpretation. Jesus Christ repeatedly called the Pharisees in the book of Matthew a brood of vipers. In John, he just comes out and he says, "You're the devil's children." Okay, it's the same thing. He's saying the same thing in Matthew as he says in John. John, he says, "Hey, you Jews, you're the devil's children." In Matthew, he says, "Hey, you Pharisees, you're a brood of vipers." Same thing, same people. It's the Jews. Then he tells the Jews, he says, "Hey, you silly people." He doesn't even call them silly people. He says, "You're blind guides," which is a double insult. Not only can they not see, but to be blind is to be unclean and unworthy. It was a double insult to the Jews, to the Pharisees, to the leaders of the Jews, to those who formed and defined a Jewish culture, religion, and ethnicity. By the way, Herod was a converted. His ancestors were converted Jews. They were of Edom. They were Edomites. And Jesus said, "Listen, y'all are blind guides, and not only are you going to fall in the pit, but everybody that follows you will fall into the pit. They're not God's chosen people." When Jesus Christ, he's talking to, he's ready to go up to Jerusalem, and he looks at the fig tree. He says, "Never again, never, ever, ever, never again will there be fruit from that tree." Okay, there's no fruit from that tree anymore. Don't say, "Oh, the Jews are going to bear fruit someday." No, they never will. They will never bear fruit again. Never. You might get a Jew here and there saved, maybe. Jesus Christ, he's been led the way to the crucifixion. He says to Jerusalem, he says, "Hey, you know, you're being left desolate, desolate." Do you know what desolate is? It's barren. Never again will you bear fruit. And you've got these false prophets out there led by the Jews, taught by the Jews, how somehow these people that call themselves Jews that are not Jews, they're not Jews. They're converts to their ancestors converted to the Talmud, which is inspired by Satan himself. They're the children of the devil. They're the synagogue of Satan. "Oh, Fritz, you don't have a THD. You don't have a doctorate degree in theology." No, but I follow this guy named Jesus Christ. He's the chief theological of the Christian church. "Oh, but I don't think Jesus knew what he was talking about." I think Christ knew exactly what he was talking about when he called the Jews the synagogue of Satan and the devil's own children. And it's stunning to me that a Christian can walk away and say, no, never mind all that, never mind all that. Jesus was just, he wasn't very enlightened. And literally the evangelical church has done what the Jews did. They say, "We know what is written, we don't care what is written. We're going to reinterpret it according to our own traditions and our oral traditions." And that becomes the basis of the Talmud. Okay, this is the sickness, the disease that has infected the Protestant church. And man, we got to root this out. Now you say, "Well, I can't preach that from my pulpit. You know, half my congregation will leave." Drive them out, man. Preach it. Drive them out. Look, either that or you're a... I'm trying to complete my sentence. I didn't just lose my brains here. What was going through Judas Iscariot's head? You know what? I got to be reasonable. This has gone a little too far. It's gone a little too far. You know, somebody needs to man up, step up, and just say, "You know, we, you know, let's try to bring us all back together here. I'm gonna, you know, start working with the Jews and, you know, just try to do some interfaith, whatever, communion type of deal. You realize that out of the 12 disciples, Judas Iscariot is the only one from the territory of Judea. He's the only one. There's a reason for that. He's the only one of the 12 who is from the territory of Judea. The rest were called Galileans. Acts chapter 1, that Jesus Christ ascends. In Acts chapter 1, the angel looks on. He says, O men of Galilee. He did not say, O men of Judea. He did not say, O you Jews. He says, O men of Galilee. Judas Iscariot was the Jew. You cannot read the book of Acts and come back and look anybody in the face and say that the Jews are the good guys. Jews are evil. Oh, but I know a Jew. Listen, I know a lot of Jews. I've had good relations with the Jews in my life, professors, colleagues, whatever. But you know what? Here's the deal. Do I side with Jesus Christ or the Jews? Siding with the Jews is treason against Jesus Christ. All right? Siding with the Jews is treason against Jesus Christ. That's what the Holy Scriptures teaches. Judas Iscariot is large and in charge. You gotta grasp this. You gotta wrap your mind and your heart around this. I don't care how much you like them. I don't care how much you think they're a good person. What they ought to do, and what you ought to tell them, is listen, you need to convert. Like Paul, the former Jew. And, of course, the Jews hate that. They call that anti-Semitism. Well, if that's anti-Semitism, you need to become an anti-Semite. If that's anti-Semitism, you need to embrace anti-Semitism as a core part of your identity and stop treating it like it's an evil word or it's an evil concept. If converting somebody who calls themselves a Jew to Jesus Christ is an anti-Semitic act, you need to be anti-Semitic. And you need to embrace anti-Semitism as a core structure of your identity. Loving the Jews siding with the Jews is treason towards Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ called them the children of the devil. He called them Satan's synagogue. He called them a brood of vipers. So did John the Baptist. Paul says they're hostile to all mankind. The apostle Stephen, the first martyr, he says, hey, you're responsible for the death of the righteous one. Jesus Christ called the Jews responsible for the death of himself. He looks Pilate in the face. He says, listen, the folks that gave me over to you, they're the ones with the greater sin. But the church acts as if they've never read this. The church acts as if they've never seen this. Church acts as if this was never written in the Bible. And it's over and over and over and over. Read the book of Acts. Over 80 times the book of Acts mentions Jew. And it's not universally, but it's 90% unfavorable. It's favorable when they say, many of the Jews became believers. Great, great. And let them cease being Jews at that point. Why would you call yourself a Jew? Why would anybody call themselves a Jew when the Bible clearly says they're the enemies of God, they're hostile to all mankind, and they're the murderers of Jesus Christ? Well, they're the devil's people. And the church has more fear of the Jew than of Jesus Christ. That's the truth. And I know I'm standing, 50 years of your education on its ear. And I'm telling you to reject everything your mom told you about the Jews and your pastor told you about the Jews. They're not God's chosen people. They're Satan's chosen people. Satan was very clear. He's very clear to Jesus Christ at the temptation. He said, see all this? See all the wealth? See all the power? See the glory of all the kingdoms? He says, it's mine to give it to whomever I wish. Bow down and worship me. I'll give it to you. And Jesus Christ told him to stiff it. So who does he go to? He goes to the Jews. And they murder Jesus Christ. All right? Now, I have not gotten into, and I don't know if I ever will, sort of who the Jews are in 2023. And I've dropped a couple names here and there. But believe me, I could, you could go deeply into it, but none of that matters. None of that matters. What matters is what the Holy Scriptures say. What matters is what Jesus Christ said. What matters is what the book of Acts says. What matters is what the book of Revelation says, and what the Psalms say, and the book of Esther say. Esther is so clear, but the church has inverted it. Oh, look at these poor victims, and God saves them. No, God didn't save them. The book of Esther is not about God saving them. God didn't save them in the book of Esther. They saved themselves. And they began murdering people that they considered to be a threat to them. They had no appeal to the God of Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. No appeal to the prophets in the book of Esther. No, God is not even mentioned in the book of Esther. Book of Esther screams aloud. Screams aloud. This is an atheistic people. Oh, but they fasted, it said. They prayed. To who did they pray and fast? There's not one reference to the God of our ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the prophet. Not one. They set up a whole new a holiday, Purim, based on chance. No reference to the feast that Moses set up. And they thrive in a multicultural, multi-ethnic, multinational empire. They seize power. They get their people in the key places. They begin murdering those that they feel they don't like. That's the story of the book of Haman. And we're not going to get out of the mess we're in America in 2023 until we deal with this issue. And this is why I don't point you to what happened in, this, that, and the other thing, all these extraneous things. I'm pointing you to the Holy Scriptures. And unless you accept those Holy Scriptures, you'll never be free. And the only people that can set us free is the church has to come together and say, oh my God, Lord God, we repent. We repent of worshiping an entity that fits the definition of the Antichrist. When you read about the Antichrist by the Apostle John, in 1 John and in 2 John, the description exactly fits the Jews. It exactly fits them. And when Jesus Christ calls them the synagogue of Satan and the devil's children, you need to put this together and pay attention. Now, I know. I got it. As soon as that comes out of your mouth, you're going to lose a third of your congregation, two-thirds of your congregation. I'm telling you, siding with the Jews is the biblical definition of treason against Jesus Christ. I don't like it. They've never done me anything wrong personally. But let me tell you, I am loyal. I am loyal to Jesus Christ. I have sworn to God Almighty that I will be loyal to Jesus Christ unto death. And that means loyal to his words, loyal to what he said, loyal to whom he's loyal to, and an enemy of those whom he's loyal to. And if he says these are the devil's children, if he says there's enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent, and you find no enmity between the devil's children and yourself, you're on the wrong side. You're committing treason against Jesus Christ. Even go back in the book of Esther, you read about how the people feared the Jews, and many peoples joined themselves to the Jews. Don't give me this nonsense that all the Jews are descendants of literally Judah or Isaac renamed Israel. That is not a true statement. That's factually wrong. They will tell you it's wrong. Most modern Jews, the vast majority of them, have nothing to do with the ancestry of Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. Y'all should have figured that out by now. Why do you think Jesus called them false Jews of the synagogue of Satan? This is a big deal. And for some reason, this is what I get to talk about. I want to build Christian nations. I want to build Christian nations. Oh, we got to talk about that. I'm getting long in the tooth. But we need to talk about building Christian nations. And every nation is based on a race and ethnicity. It's not based on a border that some person drew before World War I. It's based on a common ancestry. But that's for another day. This has been the After Show, Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com.